Two gentlemen move a length of painted canvas past us as we scurry back to Felicity's mother. This close, it doesn't look at all like Burnham Wood, only blotches of colour and brushstrokes. Anne hasn't stopped talking since we left Lily Trimble's dressing room. Wasn't she frightfully clever? Everyone's trying to be someone else. She parrots the words in Miss Trimble's broad American accent. I cannot decide if this habit will prove annoying or endearing. I found her common, Felicity sniffs, and overly dramatic.
She is an actress. It is her nature to be dramatic, Anne protests.
I do hope it won't become yours. It would be unbearable, Felicity mocks. Anne, you aren't in earnest about the stage, are you?
Why not? Anne answers,
a glumness creeping into her voice, her high spirits dampened. Because it isn't for decent girls. She's an actress. Felicity gives the word a sneer.
What other choice do I have? To be a governess for the rest of my days?
Of course not, I say, glaring at Felicity. For all her intentions, Felicity does not understand Anne's dilemma. She cannot see that Anne's life is a trap from which she cannot easily be sprung. We've come to the foyer, which still boasts a small crowd. Up ahead, I see Mrs. Worthington looking about for us.
And anyway, you've a bigger problem, Nanny, Fee says, deliberately using Miss Trimble's pet name for her. You went wearing another girl's face, Nan Washbrad. She's the girl they expect to see, not Anne Bradshaw. How will you get past that?
Anne's lips tremble. I suppose they wouldn't want a girl like me, the true me, on their stage. Every bit of confidence she's mustered disappears, and the illusion of Nan Washbrad flickers. Anne, I warn, it's no use. The full knowledge of what she's done, the complications of it, overwhelm her. The illusion is fading fast. She can't become Anne, not here, not now. It would prove disastrous.
Anne, you're fading, I whisper urgently, pushing her behind a long velvet curtain.
Her eyes widen in horror.
Oh, oh no!
Her hair shifts from a lustrous black to a dull light brown. The gown she has fashioned fades to drab grey wool. We watch in horror as it begins with the sleeves and travels quickly up her arm to the bodice.
If my mother sees you like this, we're as good as finished, Felicity snarls.
Anne, you must change it back, I say, my heart beating fast. I can't see it in my mind.
She's too frightened. The magic will not respond. The dress reverts to its former self. Her hat vanishes. I must do something to stop it, and quickly. Without asking, I grab hold of her hands and force the magic on her, imagining Nan Washbrad standing before me once again.
It's working, Anne whispers.
What I've begun, she completes, and within seconds, Nan is with us, her jaunty butterscotch hat securely on her head.
Thank you, Gemma, she says, trembling, as we step out from behind the curtain.
There you are, Mrs. Worthington purrs. I was afraid I'd lost you. It's very odd, for I was certain I saw Madame Lacroix, but when I reached the woman, she looked nothing at all like her. Shall we?